pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Hey, this is the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I'm your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends in the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own James Tiberius Batman Laird Jeff Bell.
One of my kids came down to visit this week.
Nice.
And left.
I love that.
A sucker.
Aw.
But I have trust issues with my kids because they think they're funny. So it's been sitting here for 3 days. And I like candy, even though Wilford Brimley warned me.
Yep.
But
get diabetes.
But I don't trust it. Like, with my luck, the kid left it, and it's a ghost pepper flavor or some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, you eat that sucker? Ha ha! No. That's where we're at. Anyway, how's everybody doing?
Fantastic. I went to Wrestles last night, you guys. Local wrestling. My friend was up from Vegas wrestling, so I went with his wife, my best friend, and had a delightful time. Delightful. So,
watching the wrestling, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it the jump off the ropes, hit people with chairs kind of wrestling?
It sure is. It sure is. Yeah. Yeah. So thankfully there was no blood at this one. I was thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I just finished a big weekend at the Payson Scottish Festival, which is a free festival, so it is crowded with people.
Oh, I bet.
All day long. And it was 101 degrees down there. It was like I think it had to be the coolest spot in Utah yesterday.
Yeah, I saw the weather this morning said it was going to be 107 up in Salt Lake today.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And that 101 was maybe a half an hour that it registered on my phone saying that it was 101, then it went back down to 100. So, yeah, apparently Payson was the coolest place to be yesterday in more ways than one. So, had a lot of old friends just pop in that I haven't seen for a while. And one friend I had seen recently, he comes walking. I'm like, what are you doing here? He said, I thought nobody would know me down in Payson. But he's our cat's granddaddy, basically. His cat, it was his cats who had a litter that we got our two kitties from. So, yeah.
Aww.
So we all shared stories about kitties for a minute and wanted to find out, is one of your cats part Maine Coon? Because you definitely gave us a Maine Coon cat. he's enormous and furry as fuck, and he just happens to be all black. That's it. You know, that's the only thing that you're like, are we sure he's not just something else? But yeah, and they're like, oh, no, he's part Maine Coon. Okay, got it. yeah, had a great time, fun adventures, and now we're here ready to do the show. So let's get started. Let's dive into some comic book news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
there was very little comic book news this week. I mean, I had to fucking go looking for shit. But
looks like Bleeding Cool was the only one reporting shit this week.
It's everybody else was like fucking lists, and that's it. It was like lists and previews.
I think they're all gearing up, packing up, getting ready to head down to San Diego next weekend or in 2 weeks. So we'll probably be.
I don't know. This feels
probably
more
have
like
kind
a trend.
Of a little bit of a light news week for the next couple of weeks.
I don't know. I think with everything going on at Comic-Con, the big Comic-Con, it hopefully gets a little busier.
Yeah.
With, you know, news of things that are happening as opposed to lists of books from yesteryear.
Well, it's just that at this point, all the companies are like, don't announce it. We're going to announce it at Comic-Con.
Yep. So, yeah. Iron Man Some original artwork by Don Heck.
Yep.
Set a new record at auction at a total price of $3,875,000. Give it a bomb, give it a bomb, give it a bomb, give it a bomb. We have three.
Worth it.
$3,875,000, $3,875,000. Do I hear $3,880,000? Nope. Sold. I could do it if I practiced. But it's
sold to
a new record.
Sold to the hedge fund manager, the hedge fund manager over there, because there's like 50 of you in here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a new record.
No, this is it's gorgeous. I love it.
Yeah. It's a new record for an internal page of original comic book artwork. It's the splash page that introduced Iron Man from March 1963's Tales of Suspense, number 39. Drawn by Don Heck. I wonder if his real name was Hell and the comics code made him change it.
I hope so. I hope so.
Yep. The previous was a $3.36 million record set by Mike Zeck's black costume Spider-Man from Secret Wars.
Go figure.
Yeah. That was auctioned at Heritage in 2022. But yeah, this
is... the costume vending machine in the background on that one. Yes.
Which is great, which is just fucking delightful. Stephanie Phillips went on to the TikTok to promote Daredevil number 4, highlighting why she remains one of comic book's sharpest social media voices. A glitch in Stephanie Phillips' latest Daredevil video hints that Marvel may be teasing a bigger reveal tied to the series. The TikTok ends with Stephanie Phillips asking if viewers saw it too, pointing to something arriving Friday, July 10th, which I could not find. Daredevil number 4 by Stephanie Phillips and Lee Garbett is currently out from Marvel, with Omen targeting Matt Murdock, which we already knew thanks to Jocelyn.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But I follow her on the TikToks. She's they're not kidding when they're like, she's doing the work.
Nice.
Yep. I like it. How is Stephanie Phillips?
I don't know what's coming July 10th, but, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, this run of Daredevil's been amazing. I really have enjoyed it. So she's a writer that I'll start to pick up her stuff moving forward for sure.
Yeah, I picked it up because I've read Stephanie Phillips' work in the past, and I've always liked it. So I said, I'm going to try it out. And I was really surprised that they didn't just come in with, you have had to have read the last 10 volumes of Daredevil to understand any of this. I mean,
right.
It comes in just like, okay, you know who Matt Murdock is. You know he's Daredevil. He's a teacher now. Don't worry about that. And we're just going to go for it. And I was like, this is a fucking awesome book. Well done, Stephanie. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, from page one all the way through issue, all 22 pages of issue one, I was like, this, you're kicking ass on this one, Steph. Well done. I'm really happy about it. Yeah.
As we record this today, the 12th of July.
Yes.
England is now 1,099 years old.
Wow.
In a compare and contrast, which I think...
Happy birthday, you wankers.
Yeah. In a compare and contrast, which I believe Rich Johnson was having a little bit of fun, he noted that a lot of comic books are really excited for America's 250th, that insignificant number compared to the fact that England will turn 1,100 years old next year. And he would like to know, will there be anniversary comics for 2027?
Maybe.
What was the line? Who knows? It's, he says, but that July 12th, 927, Jesus fucking Christ, is a big date to be pretty much ignored today, but maybe next year something bigger for an anniversary, with two, if not three zeros at the end. That's a good point.
I did like the little artwork he threw of Eccleston.
From 927. Ooh, a comic.
Ooh, a comic.
They're not as good as they used to be.
I'm like, there were Comics Gate trolls back in 927 AD.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean,
I
1,100 yeah, years is, well, it's no America's State Fair, which, by the way, Utah won Best in Show.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
What does that even mean?
If anybody's going to win Best in Show, it's going to be Utah, you know.
Was it fry sauce? Was it funeral potatoes? Or was it the crushing silence of the religious minorities? Racism. Sexism. Xenophobia.
I take your pick.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's
it. You know, there are a couple of comics I would love to see them do an update for or a comeback for, which would be really good for this anniversary. Camelot 3000 would be a good one to bring something back for.
Yep.
Anything from 2000 AD, obviously, would be awesome. Yeah, let's see what they could do. I'd love to see it. I like him saying, Titan could publish King Conan versus King Æthelstan.
Conan would wipe the floor with him. Æthelstan was a chicken shit. It was his dad. His dad was the guy who was also frail, but sort of a power-hungry badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, and had to deal with all the Vikings, where Æthelstan, not so good with the Vikings.
Not so good.
No. But no, one of my favorite areas of history that I've read would be the Saxons, the Normans, the Vikings, all that fun stuff. Anyway, that's it for the news.
How Your Ancestors Wound Up in England is the subtitle of that book.
Yeah. That's still it for the news.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what we have read this last week. We'll start with Joss.
You guys, I meant to read a comic book and I didn't. But I did read A Court of Silver Flames. I'm still working my way through that epic novel. It's humongous, so. How about you, Jeff? Did you get anything read this week?
I finished Dungeon Crawler Akarl number 7, and I'm about halfway through the final of 8. And it... Everything was building, 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 bigger, 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 more important, getting to the end of 7. And then you get to 8, and it's like it reverts back about 5 novels to what was, not what was going on, because it's different, but with the sense of immediacy was lessened, and he's been just cranking it up as the book goes on to the point where I am now, like, nervous for what's going to happen next, because I know this is the last one. So I'm... You know, I'm invested. The goddamn book gave me emotion. Now, well, that doesn't count. It was the author's note in book 7 where he let me know that his dog died, and I fucking lost my cool.
Oh.
I was like, oh, Freddy, I'm so sorry. It's gonna be old dog, damn it. And I did. Tiffany looks over at me. She's like, are you crying? I'm like, yeah. She's like, is it the book? I'm like, kinda.
Kind of the book?
Because the books are fucking wacky and weird and wildly politically incorrect in a politically correct way. The way he handles everything is just so fucking delicate and beautiful and fun. So much fun, fun, fun. If you like D&D, if you like Magic the Gathering, if you like Comic-Cons, you know, if you like fucking car races and just all sorts of weird, you know, kind of fringe nerd culture stuff, he takes it all to task in the most entertaining way. It is so much fucking fun. So, that's what I've been reading. What have you been reading?
Let's see. Actual comics. I read 7 Wives, number 2. This is a dense story. I mean, not so much with the twists and turns, although they are... The final twist, I was like, at the end of this issue, I was like, what the fuck? And
at
the same time, I'm like, oh, I'm not surprised.
That was how issue 1 ended, too. I felt the same way about the ending of issue 1.
And anyway, they said concluded next issue. And I'm like, wait, that was just issue 2. You're just going to do 3 issues and be done? They hadn't even, because that's the problem. IDW will announce things and don't always tell you. The book, what the number, because you know it's going to be limited, but you don't know how long it's going to be. Until like 3 issues down the road when they finally start putting it in previews, you know, that it's going, you know, this is the 4th out of 5 issues or something like that. Now it'll be like, oh yeah, this is the last issue. It's like, well, What the fuck? We had no idea. And then we have Wolverine number 23. Look at that. We got a pretty cool shot of Taskmaster there with Wolverine claws. That's nothing to be actually expected to happen. That's not Taskmaster's skill set. But what Logan found out was is that somebody has been siphoning off Logan's healing factor and then giving it to Taskmaster. And okay. So Taskmaster decides to kill off Wolverine, comes after Wolverine because he's been contracted to kill him off, and he now has Wolverine's healing factor, and Wolverine doesn't have it, so he's like, ha-ha, I'm going to win. And I'm like, ha-ha, this is Wolverine not being written by Paul Cornell, so he's not afraid of shaving. He's going to come after you, even without a healing factor. But anyway, the doc, Dr. Reyes, because the one thing Logan comments on is, the difference between me and Taskmaster is Taskmaster does all this stuff by himself. I have a team. Uh-huh. And somebody's always got my back. Very and so nice. Reyes pops in, and she'd come up with a device that would basically make his body reject the nanites that were giving him Wolverine's healing factor, which I thought was a delightful little twist. So now Logan's got to track down the hacker who was doing this to him, because that's the other problem is she can't. And it's going to bring him back into conflict with Alpha Flight. So that's going to be fun. Anyway, that's what I have read this week, because there was only three books in my hold this week. So, whatever.
What a nice thing for your bank account, though.
Exactly. My bank account was so happy, especially because who knows what's going to happen today when I get the air conditioner fixed. Well, let's take a little break. And when we come back, it's time to give our picks.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at mondayinamerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at mondayinamerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
All right, Joss, what are you looking forward to this week?
A couple of picks from Marvel. Punisher versus Spider-Man, number one. I mean, just because who doesn't love Punisher and Spider-Man? Why not?
I mean, that's
right?
That's how Punisher started, in the pages of Spider-Man.
Right. So, I mean, I don't think that needs any more explanation. This one also is pretty straightforward. It's What If Jessica Jones... And this one is, what if Jessica Jones got bit by the radioactive spider? Yeah. So she wants nothing more. She's surly and eternally miffed bartender, wants nothing more than to leave the past of her being Spider Girl behind. But when a ghost from her past comes back to haunt her, she finds herself unable to leave well enough alone. Has the Green Goblin returned?
Yeah, so aliases being Spider Girl as well.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's what I got for mainstream picks. What about you, Jeff?
Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Deluxe Edition. Coming out from, what is that, IDW?
I think so, yeah.
It would be.
I can't remember, yeah. Cowabummer, remember? Remember Cowabummer? The little meme running around the internet when Batman's talking about his parents dying in the alley and one of the turtles is on. Cowabummer,
man.
I don't even know if that was a real panel or something else, but that one did it. So I've flipped through issues of this that I've come across, but never saw it collected like this. So I think that's a good one. It's only $35. Nope, that came out from DC. That's from DC. So from Marvel, The Fantastic Four Omnibus by Dan Slott. Never read these. I like Dan Slott. And this one feels like something I would like to give a chance to see how Dan Slott handled my least favorite super team. So I'll give it a shot. I liked it when Matt Fraction was writing it, so I don't know. What about you? What were your picks, sir?
From Marvel Comics, we have Avengers Armageddon number 2. It looks like, you know, the Avengers are going to take down Thunderbolt Ross's Red Hulk and, you know, taking over and making New America in Latveria. But a Sentry, the Sentry appears to Red Level Hulk, a mysterious new hero as powerful as the Sentry appears to level Red Hulk and the Avengers together. So somebody else is coming into the mix, and it's going to be a threesome now.
That's what she said.
And then from DC Comics Nightwing number 140, Nightwing's hunting down a killer in downtown Bloodhaven, and it leads to revelations about the supervillainous architect of the city's superhighway. Nightwing's already in deep on this superhighway thing, so it's going to be interesting how that pans out. Independent wise, from Distillery, we have A Mischief of Magpies number 1. New Distillery series debut from Simon Spurrier. You had me at Simon Spurrier. Sometimes without Mar has a secret, sometimes without a warning, he falls out of the world. This would be an inconvenience if his life wasn't already such a drag when he's gone. He finds himself in an extraordinary city, a city which is also a machine, endlessly crossing the shoreless ocean, a city of two halves. I'm like, this sounds like just some crazy shit. I can't wait to read it. So there you go. Mischief of Magpies. And then from 3W3M, I think this is Jonathan Hickman's and Mike Huddleston's new imprint. It's called Foundations. It's a one-shot. It just looks so cool. It looks like a great sci-fi story. I don't really know that much about it, but it's Jonathan Hickman. Mike Huddleston is involved. Nick Spencer's drawing it. I'm in. There we go. How about you, Joss? Or you, Jeff, what are your indie picks?
From Distillery, Mischief of Magpies. Fuck it, it's Distillery. I will always pick a Distillery book.
No shit.
And the art and everything. Oh, it just looks fantastic. I want it.
Yeah.
From IDW and Top Shelf comes Surfside Girls, the box set. This one's for other people. It's the graphic novel that inspired the Apple TV show.
Oh.
So it's a beautiful town, Surfside, of ocean breezes, layers of history, long-lost secrets, unexplained weirdness, and maybe even ghosts. Yeah, why not? This looks like fun. This looks like something I will give to one of my younger relatives if I were to actually pick it up. You know, but the art is fucking adorable. You know, the price point's really good at $33.99 for basically four volumes. So it just looks fun. It reminds me of, like, do you remember, Encyclopedia Brown?
Encyclopedia Brown.
You know, and Nancy Drew and all that. Those were, that was shit that I really, really liked when I was a kid. I liked them a lot. They're the reason I read Dashiell Hammett. They're the reason I read Raymond Chandler. So, yeah, fun kitty mystery stuff. You betcha. Let's give it a shot. How about you, Jocelyn?
So from Bad Idea Comics, Banana Number One, Number One. You guys, I swear, it doesn't get any goofier than this. I thought that Weird Al last week was goofy, but no. No, beats it. No. Banana Number One tells the story of genetically mysterious 7-foot-tall sentient banana. Raised in secret, turned race car driver, turned sex symbol, turned global celebrity, and ultimately turned revolutionary icon. Caught between human civilization, fruit rebellion, and the coming war between the two.
I'm in.
I can't. Like, yeah. How do you not pick that up? That just sounds amazing. And then, all right, I found this on Fresh Comics, and then, of course, this morning I can't get into Fresh Comics. So I cannot remember who's distributing it, where it's coming out from. It was a Kickstarter. It's Kaijus and Cowboys by writer Matthew Blair and artist Frankie B. Washington.
Oh, that looks like fun. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I think it's coming out from Massive.
That could be. Yeah. Set on an alien frontier, it follows a robot cowboy tasked with protecting a workforce of construction robots from swarms of giant monsters while humanity sleeps in orbit waiting for a perfect new home. I'm kind of picturing WALL-E and Godzilla. That's what came to mind.
It's WALL-E versus Godzilla. I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm in. Sure, why not? So there you go. Those are my indie picks of the week.
All right. Well, let's hop in the TARDIS, and we're going to jump into September to give our picks of the future. As always, these future picks are so that you can go to your local comic book shop and pre-order these. That way they get sold, and they wind up getting, you know, especially if they're ongoing series, I know mine is, the publisher will keep producing them as long as you have them in your hold. So go to your local comic book shop, get a hold started if you haven't already, and add these to your pull list, because that's how they do it now. That's how it works. So Joss, what is your pick for September?
All right, from Marvel Comics, this is a one shot. Tons of names attached to it, including Chip Zdarsky, Mackenzie Haydenhead, Philip Kennedy Johnson, Adam F. Goldberg. It is The Muppets Take the Marvel Universe, Number One. To celebrate the 50th anniversary of The Muppet Show, Chip Zdarsky, along with a cadre of marvelously talented creators, are unleashing the Muppets' chaos on the Marvel Universe. So Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, Spider-Man, Black Panther, and Emma Frost are going to rescue Ralph the dog, who was kidnapped by Mojo. I mean, it's, let's face it, it's taking two of my favorite things and smashing them together. It's like a delicious peanut butter and jelly sandwich of comic books. How about you, Jeff?
Well, now I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I was fine.
I'm sorry.
Well, I skipped breakfast to take a shower today because we record earlier than we used to. And so I didn't make anything to eat. And I'm sitting here being hungry and you're all peanut butter and jelly. Because I made Tiffany her very first grilled peanut butter and jelly sandwich a couple weeks back.
Shut up. Yum.
And she gave me the stink eye, like, ew, ugh, blah. And I'm like, remember that time I told you to put butter on a Pop-Tart and you gave me that same look? And then that's all you ate for months? She's like, yeah. I'm like, grilled peanut butter and jelly.
You can also do French toast peanut butter jelly.
You can. I almost did that this last week when we found out we were out of syrup and no one told me. Very annoying. My pick of the future this week is from Mad Cave. It's called You Are on Native Land, a charity comic for indigenous rights. It's $20. I will literally, actually save my pennies and go buy this one because I've got till September to save it.
Everybody get it ordered. Put it on your pull list. Seriously. Hey, I don't care if you don't give a shit about Native Americans. Put it on your pull list. This one's too important for us to ignore. Let's put it out there because all of the proceeds, all the profits on this book are going to go right back to Native Americans and to help them. So get this on your pull list. Let's have this one.
Yeah. So what about you, sir?
From IDW, Star Trek number one coming out, a new Star Trek series, this time with the crew of the Enterprise G that we met at the end of Picard season 3, complete with Captain 7 of 9.
Nice.
And her divided fast track crew begin exploring the Trinity, which is a region of space that they had never, it was until now just unknown. Three pristine M-class worlds await the refugees in a region of unknown space called the Epsilon Corridor. So basically, they're escorting refugees through the Epsilon Corridor to the Trinity. I'm sure everything will go just exactly right. It will be a boring mission, right? The other thing I'm worried about is I don't see Raffi getting mentioned in any of the solicitations for this. So I'm like, are you dropping First Mate Raffi from all this? I'm curious how that's going to work out. So, but in Christopher Cantwell, I trust, who's writing it. So the art's pretty cool too. Dennis Menhir does kind of a funky style, and I'm kind of digging on that. So I can't wait. Star Trek number one. Go and order it today at your local comic book shop. In the meantime, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're heading to Tinseltown.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Hey, folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did, and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
Do I start? Am I starting?
I mean, it's news, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, we're doing, not doing news. We're doing, what did you watch this last week?
Yeah.
On Out of Tinseltown. We'll start with Joss.
So, got to Mom's on Friday night to do our Friday night watch. Was really looking forward to watching more of Sugar, but Mom's Comcast internet was out and had been all week. And so we ended up watching, when I got there, Celebrity Jeopardy was on. Ugh. Macaulay Culkin was surprisingly sharp.
He's
I don't
wicked
know why.
Smart, and he's a delight of a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just, yeah, he was really fun on it. And then 2020 came on, and so I just said, well, let's watch the true crime documentary. And, you know.
Fair enough.
There you go. So that was really exciting for me. Mm-hmm. How about you, Jeff? What'd you watch?
Watch the World Cup, of course.
World Cup.
honestly, the United States cheated and lost anyway, and even though it was not their fault that they cheated, I'm happy they didn't go forward. I mean, can you imagine the fucking worldwide hate We already have a bad reputation as a soccer team. It made me sad.
It would taint the entire franchise down. You know, the women's club, all of it would be tainted by that.
And, yeah, but if you want more on the World Cup shenanigans this week, turn over to The Left Show over at theleftshow.com, because I'm going to go off. Okay, so I'm still watching Heroes very slowly because I'm reading. But it's still very good. Yatai! And watching Netflix's Daredevil just kind of for fun.
Nice.
Started X-Men 97 yesterday morning because I had an hour before the soccer match started. So I was like, what can I watch? I was like, oh, yeah, I've been meaning to watch this because I hear it's good. And it's pretty good. And then on Netflix, and I won't say that I had taken a medically prescribed edible at the time. Medically prescribed. I watched Little House on the Prairie, the new Netflix Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
There's no names in it. These are all smaller time actors.
Okay.
And it didn't suck. Yeah, I was high as a kite. So
you were having a great time.
No, I wasn't. But I was like, this is pretty good. This is good. Because I watched, when I was a little kid, it was in syndication. So I watched Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it when it originally premiered. I watched it for years in syndication.
That Mary Ingalls was one hot dish.
And when they said they were remaking it for Netflix, I was like, "What are you going to do? You're going to have to make it bigger, which that isn't the show."
No, it's good. It's solid. There's, like I said, I'm only an episode and a half into it because, you know, I sobered up, but. It's closer to the books than the TV show was, which I guess you can do when you're doing a limited series versus having to fill 22 episodes every year.
Right.
You know, so it's good so far. I like the guy they got playing Pa. The two little girl actresses are solid. The wife is solid. Mr. Edwards, you remember him? The big bearded dude.
Yeah,
they got one of him, and he's far better looking. Still big and bearded, and like I don't. The only thing I can say is the closest resemblance we have to a bigger name actor is the lead actor playing Ingalls. Looks kind of like Luke Perry, if Luke Perry weren't dead. So it didn't suck. And then I watched the documentary Super Size Me. Which
I haven't seen that in years.
Did not work. All it made me was one, want McDonald's, and two, think that Morgan Spurlock barfed up a double quarter pounder with cheese, you sissy. I'm sorry your girlfriend makes you nothing but organic vegetarian food, but you're the one who decided to do this. Throwing up. Ugh. But yeah, the whole documentary just was like, oh, that looks good. Oh, that looks good. And then The Breakfast Club.
Such a great one.
The Breakfast Club. And those two we'll be talking about this week on Gen Zex with me and Braxton Bonnell.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
You can get that over at theleftshow.com on usually Wednesdays. Unless we don't do a left show and then I put it on Mondays, because why the fuck not?
Mm-hmm. Right. Why not? Might as well.
So what about you?
Let's see. Watched Vampire Lestat. Okay, this time we finally did delve into the book a little bit, where he got thrown into. You need to babysit the original vampires, Akasha and Enkil, while I take a quick vacation. Now in the book, it was like a day that he did this, and he fucked everything up in a day. In this one, they made it look like he'd been there, Marius had left him there for weeks, which was even funnier to me. The Marius is just, was like, you're in charge now. You get to keep them. He's like, I'm not qualified. He's like, you'll be fine. And I'm like, is Marius quitting? Because I know he's supposed to come back. And then he comes back. I'm like, okay, we're back to normal now. But it was just hilarious, just the fact that it looked like Lestat was just stuck there for weeks trying to entertain these two frozen vampires that you don't dare wake up.
Right.
And what does he? And of course, what does he do? He wakes one of them up. Yeah, it was delightful. And the performance that she gave, the woman playing Inkil gave, was incredible. So, sorry, what was her name who passed away right after she made the Queen of the Damned? Another one name.
I know who you're talking about. Aaliyah.
Wasn't it Aaliyah?
Aaliyah. Yeah, Aaliyah. Yeah. Sorry, Aaliyah. She's got your number. She's really rocking. She's really kicking ass in that one. My Adventures with Superman. John Kent, son of Superman and Lois, shows up to visit his parents before they got married and had John Kent. So, something about him being sent back to save the future from the past. And I'm like, well, if you hadn't been born yet, how would they know to send you back?
Get Josh Brolin to play him.
Yeah. So, this one's getting loopy, and I'm like, it's more interesting when Bart Allen shows up than somebody else. And then, what else do we watch? World Cup, of course. I didn't get to watch yesterday's matches because I was baking in the hot summer sun for the Payson Festival. So I pulled up my FIFA app and mourned with the rest of my fellow Scots that England was winning.
Yeah, I was so excited when England won. Half that team is fucking Arsenal. I'm just like, it's like watching my guys.
I knew
guys.
You'd be having a great day because they're all Arsenal players. In fact, it's been really funny, you know, having now followed a lot of football, when you hear the players, you know, on other teams you think would have nothing to do with it, they're like, oh yeah, he plays for Liverpool, or it's like, oh my god, this is awesome. And then I'm like, I feel like I'm connected to these guys more now that I'm paying attention to football.
It was like an all-star game for the Premier League yesterday. And the Argentina
and now
game.
Now I need to go to a Real
nuts.
Game because I've been watching it on our local station, and they show Real commercials, and I'm like, that looks like fun. How much are those tickets?
Go to the Royals.
And the Royals have an even better price point. So it's like I could do a Royals game and not feel like I was breaking the bank. And honestly, even a Real game doesn't feel like I'd be breaking the bank. So it could be fun. Because somebody talked about it on his other podcast, I went and found MacGyver on Pluto TV and watched the first, the pilot episode and the first episode. My God, did that bring back memories, that pilot episode? Because I still remember, I've remembered all these years him using the chocolate bars to stop the acid leak.
Yep.
And I was like, you know, the one thing that MacGyver made you do was pay attention in science class.
Yep.
Now, the second episode, silly as fuck, but it was fun seeing Robin, what's her name, who played Savick as the photographer lady. But that one, I was like, okay, nope, you've already lost me. He climbs up, because the whole metaphor was about the map in that opening sequence. It was all about the metaphor of the map. And he gets a hole in the balloon that he's escaping in, because why not escape in the slowest vehicle possible from guys with guns? And he climbs up there and he puts the map on it. He grabs some duct tape, tapes it to his shirt. I'm like, oh, he's going to seal the hole with duct tape. Gets up there and he tapes the map on to be the metaphor. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to keep air in. By the way, that was where we first discovered duct tape as the most useful tool ever, was on that episode of MacGyver and all MacGyvers going forward. I'd forgotten about that. The MacGyver was the king of duct tape. I also want to know where that roll of duct tape kept showing up from.
Wore it on his wrist.
Yeah.
Was it on his wrist?
Yep. He's okay. A smaller fella that Richard Dean Anderson. He can do that. I can't get my big fat hand through a roll of duct tape.
I used to be able
tape.
To get over my, because I can really bend my thumb in a lot. So I used to be able to put it on over my wrist, but nowadays I can't. It was funny. He always had his duct tape and his pocket knife. And I'm like, ah, this is where duct tape come from. You know, red green just made me all forget all about it. But that was MacGyver.
Yeah, he could fix anything with duct tape, bubble gum, and a paper clip.
That's right. But anyway, that was what I have watched. We're going to take a little break. We're going to move into Tinseltown News.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Not Tinseltown News, but good news.
Yes.
We'll talk about it more on the Left Show. Go over to the Left Show to listen to this one. But Lindsey Graham
is
dead. Big
celebration on the Left Show.
Lindsey Graham is dead. I don't know. It feels like God is practicing.
It's just a warm-up act.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Celebratory tones on the other show. Bonnie Tyler.
Oh.
Bonnie Tyler passed away at the age of 75. You might recall her from I Need a Hero or Total Eclipse of the Heart. Welsh singer whose husky yet commanding voice, that's a choice, husky.
That's a weird choice.
Made songs in the 80s that were classics. Even Kevin Bacon popped up to talk about how much he liked Bonnie Tyler on his Instagrams. But a message on her Facebook page read, "Bonnie's family and team are heartbroken to announce that Bonnie unexpectedly passed away last night in hospital in Portugal as a result of an illness she was being treated for." I wonder if she and Lindsey Graham caught the same thing.
Maybe they did.
Maybe they did. But anyway, that's real sad. I like her. Yeah. I like her voice. Always have. Shit. I'm having browser issues today. Randolph Mantooth. I bet that was fun in elementary school.
This is a man from our childhoods, and I think even Joss may have remembered this guy. You may have grown up with this as well when you were little.
Anyway, Randolph Mantooth. He played the firefighter paramedic Johnny Gage on Emergency. Has passed away at the age of 80. He was on... for fuck's sake. I am having browser issues today. He was just getting started as a contract player at Universal when he was hired in 1971 to play Gage opposite Kevin Tye as his partner. Roy DeSoto on Emergency, created by Dragnet legend Jack Webb and Robert A. Senador. Okie dokie. When told he was going to play a paramedic, the first thing Mantooth said was, "What the hell is a paramedic?" Because they didn't exist yet, because we're fucking right? Old.
Yeah. This show made them popular enough that other states and other cities were like, "Why don't we have paramedics? That would be really helpful."
Yeah, he originally tried to turn the role down because he knew he'd have to get a haircut.
Damn hippie.
And I'm looking at his hair and I'm like, that's the cut?
That's cut.
Maybe that's why he didn't want it. They're like, "We're going to make it so that you look like you want to talk to a manager."
Yeah.
But it's the manager of a head shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. That's sad. I do. I remember him. I saw his face and I was like, "Oh, that sucks." I remember that dude. Wai Ching Ho, legendary Madame Gao from Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, has passed away at the age of 82. Details surrounding her passing, including the date and cause of death, have not yet been made public. However, news of her death began circulating within the acting community, where collaborators from across her television, film, and stage career started sharing memories and tributes to an actor who spent nearly 40 years shaping how Asian and Asian American characters were written and performed on major platforms. Mm-hmm. I love her as Madame Gao.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
Yep. But yeah, she had a very long career. She was great in The Defenders because she did a lot more acting in that than the other ones.
Yeah.
I really did. Mm-hmm. And then this one took like a read and a half to kind of figure out what the fuck happened. And the only reason is because it's got a shitty headline.
Well, and then he kind of beat around the bush as to why this was happening. And once he explained, all he had to say was one thing. And I was like, "That's why all of this happened. I now understand it." Thank
you. And he buried that shit.
Yeah, he buried the lead on
but,
that one.
Yeah, Brooke Shields made a reservation at Casa Bonita, which is owned and operated by the two South Park gang, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, out there in Colorado. I think I've told you guys before that Casa Bonita has been around for a long fucking time, and I always wanted to eat there, and none of my friends would let me. And now, those same friends who would never let me go to Casa Bonita because apparently it was a good place to get food poisoning, now they all eat there because it's so fucking good.
Because Matt and Trey came in and cleaned it up.
Yep.
To some degree.
It was a fun little documentary that they made of that, too.
Yeah. But apparently it's a lot like, you remember the Mayan here?
Yeah.
In Sandy, where they had cliff divers and shit? Yeah.
Well, the Mayan was a lot like Casa Bonita.
One of our former co-hosts, Ultimate Bob, used to do puppetry there.
Mm.
You know, they had a puppet, they had a parrot that would talk. And he would voice the parrot and control the parrot that would talk to you.
Fun. Yeah, no, Casa Bonita has been around since the 60s.
Yeah.
So Larry H. Miller stole that idea and made it cleaner.
Of course.
So the reason...
I have no doubt that Larry H. Miller stole that from someone.
Yeah. The reason Brooke Shields used a fake name to ambush the creator's restaurant is because the performers are getting underpaid. They make about... The waitresses and food staff make about 10 bucks more than the performers do.
Oh, wow.
And so she's calling out Trey and Matt over what she describes as a disheartening dispute between staff and management at the Colorado restaurant. In an interview with CNN published over the weekend, Shields reveals that she used a fake name when she visited Casa Bonita in March to deliver a letter asking for better wages and improved safety conditions for the live performers at the restaurant. So, yeah, I mean,
and
it's cool.
Why does Brooke Shields care? Because five paragraphs down and buried in a sentence, Shields, who can currently be seen on the Acorn TV series You're Killing Me, serves as the president of the Actors Equity Association. So she's the president of the union that protects these performers.
Yep.
Right.
I'm like, why isn't that the fucking leading line? Come on.
Right.
Why does Brooke Shields care? I was reading the whole thing. I'm like, why does she care? Why does she care? I get to that one. I'm like, oh. She actually has to care. This is her fucking job, is to take care of these people.
Yep. So, yeah, basically the performers are getting underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a bone to pick. I don't know why she couldn't use her real name. It's, I mean, raise a hand, gang. Who's got Acorn TV?
Oh, not me. I'd never even heard of it before this article.
In my anecdotal survey, it's because nobody knows who the fuck she is anymore.
But if you are part of Actors Equity, like Matt and Trey are, you know who the president is, and if you see her name pop up, you clean up real fast. Yeah.
Maybe they would have fixed the problem.
Or you try to silence your people. And it's like they're getting paid $10 less than the servers, these performers. $10 less per hour than the servers are. And they don't get tips, you know, unless... somebody's popping a dollar in the guy's, you know, swimsuit when he pops up out of the water from doing a cliff dive.
You know, they asked you to stop doing that, sir.
But they don't make anything. I have to help them out. I mean, come on.
Very good. So, you know what? Matt, Trey, I know you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
Get your shit together. Pay your performers. You guys should know better. You got the money.
Right.
To Brooke Shields, good job doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
To the author that wrote the article, boo, sir, boo on you. What a piece of shit piece of writing. Oh, my God.
Will you fix this shit, please?
You buried all the leads. You gave weird little driplets of information that would have made this. I had to read it twice because I got so fucking bored reading it the first time. I forgot what the words said.
Honestly, I didn't go back up and read that paragraph that said she was president of Actors Equity until I'd boringly scrolled down to the photo of all the people standing there, holding up Actors Equity signs, you know, picketing in front of Casa Bonita. And I was like, wait, I scroll back up and I read that. I'm like, oh, she's because she's the AEA president. I'm like, this makes so much fucking sense now.
Should have been in the first fucking paragraph.
Yep.
Anyway, that is it for the news, gang.
All righty. Well, I think that's it for us this week. Am I right?
I believe you are correct, sir.
Some brain fog, but okay.
Nothing for me.
All right. Well, we are inviting you to join us on Patreon at patreon.com/dfinmedia, where every week we give you extra content. This week we got another list. You know how I feel about lists. And this one's by Sean Lelos, so it's actually not a bad list from comicbook.com. 10 genius-level supervillains in Marvel Comics that make even Tony Stark look dumb. I disagree on three of them, so let's see how we do. That is available to you if you join us on Patreon. Join our Patreon squad. Help us make a Patreon platoon at patreon.com/dfinmedia. You don't just get the world's greatest comic book podcast extra content. This is Defend Media's, so you're going to get all of our shows extra content. You want to hear Jeff and Braxton talk more about video games in Patreon? It's there for you. You want to hear those of us on the Left Show cover stories that we couldn't get to in the hour format for the Left Show? It's there for you. We're going to be talking. We're going to be having a great, we have a great time. And you'll have a great time if you join us at patreon.com/defendmedia. In the meantime, I'm going to say, as I always do, until Celia Reyes can just slap a thing on a guy and make his body reject nanites, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard. Wouldn't that be a magnet? Can't you get rid of nanites with a magnet?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
Try an MRI.
Hold on, I'm gonna Google it.